I want to go ahead and introduce the two guests we have on. The first one is really a guest that maybe needs no introduction. One of the top producers in the country. Last year, I think he was number four. According to the convention, we had him at number three, but according to the convention, he was number four in the country as a personal producer last year. He just this past week, we saw the leaderboards before the rest of the country did. We saw him last night, right, Ralph? He is now number one agency for last week in the country, which is a huge deal. And I think one of the biggest things about Ralph Simpson is his ability to get people, to help people become top producers. And, you know, Lisa Halomo, she's about to be announced on the national call in another hour and a half. We saw the leaderboard. She was number one in the country last week. And Ralph, she was a client of Ralph's. So Ralph is very good at turning good producers into top producers. And so we wanted to have him come on today, and he has one of his star producers on the call as well, and he may even want to introduce her a little bit himself. But Michelle Wallace is on the call. A lot of you guys in the Dallas sales meeting know Michelle. My wife calls her like one of the prettiest women she knows. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and her eyes are always shining. And my wife says that. It's not me saying it, so don't get me in trouble, guys. Just an absolute star and an absolute bright spot in the Dallas sales meeting. And this last week, she broke the 10,000 mark in a week. And the week that's ending today, I know she's right at 15,000 or better. She may have some updated numbers for us. But, wow, what a producer. And I wanted to have the two of them come on. Ralph, are you there?
I sure am.
Is there anything you wanted to add about Michelle?
I agree with Heather. She is absolutely gorgeous. Okay, particularly good inside. She's got a great heart, not just herself, but she and her husband. She's got a great family life.
Sure.
Stable. So, yeah, second that.
Well, you know, I mentioned, and not to carry on about her, but you can really tell a lot about somebody when you look in their eyes. And every time I look at Michelle, she's shining. Her eyes are just shining, and they're smiling. And I think that's something to do with something she has inside that's, you know, at rest, at peace. She doesn't have a lot. Doesn't seem to have a lot of controversy in her life. She's just on track, I guess. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm floored right now. Like, oh my goodness.
Robert's not listening, is he?
Actually, he's not right now.
Oh, whew, okay. Now, Michelle, you mentioned yesterday in our Dallas sales meeting that last week you broke over the $10,000 mark in a week, and that's a big deal, especially on the Simpson team. They make a big deal of that, the $10,000 club. But you mentioned the sales meeting just a few weeks ago, just recently, you were kind of in a slump. And I just kind of want Ralph to take over. Sorry, I don't even mean to talk, but I kind of want you guys to sort of talk about that, to talk about what you did to get out of that, how Ralph helped, and on and on. Ralph, I don't know if you have some questions lined up for her.
In fact, you started pretty well with them. Michelle started with us back in December, probably November actually, end of November, early December. And she's introduced by another female agent of ours who's also rising to the top. She started very slowly. In fact, her first month, well, I say slow in comparison to a lot of the past producers that we have, okay? But I think she did like $9,000 in her first month. And this month, by the close of business today, I know she's going to hit a $40,000 mark.
Wow.
In a month of production, along with like five other agents that I have in our group, which is astronomical.
No kidding.
One of the things I like about Michelle, okay, which a lot of agents don't do, and that she logs in to all the training calls. Okay, she logs into all the training calls. Excuse me, sorry about the phone there. All the time. Turn it off. Anyway, she attends all the meetings, the conventions. She's at a national convention that opened her eyes. In fact, when she came to NAA, she came in with one foot in and one foot out. You know, she had another, I guess, profession in the insurance industry, specialized in another area. I guess it was probably health insurance. And she wasn't sure whether this was the right thing for her to do until she received her first paycheck. Okay? Then she became a believer, and the rest is absolute history. It's incredible what she's done. Her checks have constantly got a comma in it. And I'm confident, very confident, that before long, okay, she'll have checks where the 2 digits before the comma. And, you know, she goes through ups and downs, and right now she's on the up, and we all go through ups and downs, okay? But one reason why she bounces back from the up is that she's got the ability to pick up the phone and talk to myself, okay, or, you know, a manager. And she may want to talk to you about how she does that and how she gets around that. Right, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about the last time, if you don't mind, okay? Tell us about the last time, before we talk about your current success.
Okay.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, when you started, and just correct me if I was wrong.
Okay. Just a couple little details, but, I started actually toward the end of December, right before the convention.
Okay.
So, and it wasn't health insurance because I don't know anything about that stuff.
Take it back.
But investments, yeah. I did more of the investments and that kind of thing. So, but you're right, I was kind of just trying to check everything out and see, you know, about the company and what we had to offer. And I was very, very excited about, you know, the whole company, the people. Obviously, the leadership, the training, just everything has been phenomenal since I've been with the organization, and I'm proud to be with the company, and I'm proud to, you know, work with the clients that I'm working with and know that I'm giving them a good product.
Go ahead, Ralph. Yeah, as far as you said, you're proud to be working with the clients. Another, when you came in, I mean, you were very slow in starting, okay? Can you tell us the reason why you were slow? I mean, I know you had other commitments, okay, but was there anything that we did that made you, I guess, pack in what you were doing and focus totally on NAA?
Well, I think it obviously just took me a little while to kind of understand. I'd never worked, you know, with the mortgage protection or focusing on that type of product before. So, like I said, I went to all the meetings, and I just picked up information, you know, week by week of how to handle different questions, how to basically get to know the product well enough that I felt like I could communicate whatever I needed to help people understand what we could do for them. And even with that, there, like you say, were those ups and downs. There were weeks when I thought, okay, I've got this down and I know how to handle this situation or that situation, and maybe it didn't go quite the way I wanted it to, and I wasn't able to confidently maybe answer some of the questions. And then obviously, over time, and just listening to other agents and listening to you know, the meetings and the leadership, I've been able to pick up more information and get confident in what I'm able to help people understand about, you know, what the product is and how it helps them and their family, and give them the security that they need.
Right. And what role does Robert, your husband, play as far as your organization?
He's obviously, we've always just kind of worked together, and so my other big part of it was just making sure that he got to see a little bit about the company. So I brought him to a couple meetings, you know, showed him what I was doing and getting excited about, had him come to the convention with me, and he was so excited. He was ready to quit his position immediately and move over, but I told him he had to hang on a little bit longer before I'd let him switch over, because we had to get some other things just situated from the last couple of years. We've both been through, you know, career transitions and things. So, but he is currently probably my biggest support, obviously, because he'll help set up appointments or help do follow-ups on our sales link and things like that to make sure things are moving if I'm out working with clients.
Right. So as far as making appointments, does he make the majority of the appointments, or do you make the majority of the appointments?
No, he probably makes the majority of them. He's just better. He's very personable on the phone. People always enjoy talking to him. So it's kind of neat. By the time I go and meet with clients, they always mention, you know, how much they enjoyed even talking to him. So
it's fun to
have people, you know, like what you're doing and who you are. So.
And what sort of approaches do you use on the phone, Michelle?
It was funny because when I first joined the company, obviously, being in the financial world, I thought, well, I need to come learn everything all over. And I really did go to that first day of training thinking, okay, I'm going to forget everything I've ever known and just try to do exactly what they tell me to do here and how it works. And we went through the whole, what's that other system called? No.
Yeah, okay.
The hygiene system.
Right.
Yeah, and we went through, and it was funny because that first week or two, I tried to tailor it to my personality, you know, from that. But still, it was obviously much longer appointments, longer on the phone, things like that. And then once we went to the convention and heard about how you were actually helping train some of the people to work it, then we switched to that. So he's still probably only maybe 5 minutes on the phone at the most with each appointment setting time.
Right. And how long do you normally spend with your client, Michelle, when you go to see a client? How do you break the ice, and what's a typical time from the time you open the door to the time they close the door as you're walking out?
Well, I think it definitely can vary. I know typically when you're going to see older clients, I'm going to spend a little more time, and I kind of adjust for that. As a matter of fact, when I get my leads, the first thing I do is go through each one of them and figure out their ages. So when he's on the phone, he'll know to give me a little more time between, you know, certain ones. But I think typically older clients tend to take a little more time because they like to talk a little more. But as far as business time in the appointments, they can be anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes long total to, you know, probably no more than 45 minutes ever. But, you know, I can say I've had a few here and there that maybe went a little longer just because, you know, we were having fun and talking about, you know, their life and their family and different things that...
But that's a totally different approach. I've never heard that before. You sort of lead that by the age of the client?
I do. I just mark all of the ages first just because I want to know if they're an older person, they're typically going to take a little longer in the appointment. So I don't want him only giving me a 30-minute slot if I know it might go a little longer, so I don't miss the next one, you know, that I'm late real bad or, you know.
Right. Interesting.
So because when I go out, I try to hit them, you know, all together as quick, you know. Intensify my days. You know?
Right. Michelle, you went from doing, say, an average of $2,000 to $3,000 a week to now blowing out the $10,000 mark. What would you put that down to? I mean, you know, you did it back to back. Actually, you know, you did last week. You wrote $10,000 last week, and this week you're at the $15,000 mark. And I mean, so what's your secret?
Well, obviously, I was just excited. I'm a goal setter. I like the fact that, you know, our meetings each week, we talk about goals and everything we're doing, and I wanted to be toward the top. So I just, you know, when we were saying that would be consistent, if we can just hit the 10,000 a week, and it's not unrealistic to do. It's just a matter of planning and preparing. And like you say, I guess probably the biggest thing from that you know, that we get from you all the time is it's a mindset. We just have to know that's what we're going to do that week. And
go
do it.
Isn't that amazing? It took you a while to get there. And when you got there, it's like, you can't go back, right?
Like, we're going to do that. Yes,
absolutely.
Right.
I mean, living proof right now is the likes of, you know, Lisa Alamo and Chris White and Tammy Lauer and so forth. Those folks are never less than $10,000 a week. I think you just join that club. You know, it is a mindset. And
awesome.
No looking back. Incredible.
Yeah.
Fitz, are you there?
I'm here. I was while you guys were just talking. Can you hear me fine?
Sure, clearly.
I was kind of going back through the leaderboards over the last few months, and I have here that Michelle, her first week that she wrote production was just shy of 3,200. That was the third week of December,
okay.
and then her production took 4 weeks off. So the last 2 weeks of December, which are the last 2 weeks of December, you can allot some of that to just the time frame that we were in. And then the first 2 weeks of January. But starting the third week of January, she has not had a blank week since.
That is so true.
Isn't that interesting?
That is so true.
Yeah.
And somebody was just saying the other day that, you know, I remember talking to them, and they I forget who it was, but they said, Fitz, I promise you I'm not going to have a blank week. Even if I have to write an application on myself, I'm not going to have a blank week. And I said, you know, that's a common trait of top producers. And I go back in my mind to Todd Besner when he first got started nearly 3 years ago, that he came on board and he committed that every week he was going to turn in something. And 1 week it was just awful; he couldn't close anything. He came in and brought an app in on himself. He just refused to have a blank week. And I'm seeing that same thing with Michelle. I see that same thing with all the top producers. They just refuse to have that blank week. Michelle, do you consciously think about not having a blank week, or you just go out there and do it?
No, right now I'm just constantly thinking I got to get 10,000 every week.
not even about blanking. I mean,
no.
less than 10 is a blank now, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
And I have been watching checks that you've been making from F&G. They're not shabby. I promise you that. I guess you would agree, right?
I'm excited.
Well, so Michelle, when you said yesterday in the sales meeting that you had been in a slump, which slump were you referring to?
Well, like you said, the numbers may not have shown it necessarily volume-wise, but I had already, I think when Ralph, I don't remember when Ralph first proposed that we needed to have a 10,000-week goal. About a month ago maybe, or
March,
a month and a half, I think it was,
yeah,
approximately. And so, you know, obviously I was trying to incorporate that, put that in my mind, and I had set in 1 week probably 15 appointments and still only came in with about 5,000 maybe, or 3,000 or 4,000, something like that. And I was not excited about that because I knew what all didn't happen that week too. So to me, I was frustrated. I felt like, what did I do wrong? Why did these not close? You know, what was different? And I admitted it and confessed it in the meeting, and we all talked. You know, it's funny because more people came to me after that going, it's nice to hear somebody else has a bad week sometimes, you know. And here I was just kind of having my own little pity party, I guess. But I just was letting people know that, you know, I was frustrated because I couldn't figure out what was different that week. And Ralph, his biggest thing was, you need to call me when it starts going bad. Don't wait till the end of the week and tell me what happened, you know. So, and he's right. I mean, I shouldn't have let it just keep going where I wasn't closing all of a sudden.
Well, I don't know if everybody caught everything you just said, but let me boil down what she said so far on the call. And it's what Ralph started off talking about at the very beginning. She comes to the meetings and she talks to her manager. And guys, that's huge. As you came to the national convention, how did that change your mind?
Oh, I mean, that was awesome. I have to say the biggest thing I was the most excited about is, one, the quality of people there. I think that's always important in who you're going to work with and what you're doing is you want to be around real people who are happy and excited about what it is they do. And that was everywhere. I was also excited about the fact to see 80-some people up on a stage with over $100,000 income. To me, that was so real, and I knew I could be part of that.
And now, are you starting to, you're wanting to start recruiting a team and all that sort of thing?
Yes, we're starting to get myself prepared for that. Ralph has been awesome as far as just helping explain how each state is going to work, and so I've definitely done hiring and training and working with people before. I actually had a broker office for a little while, and I know it's a lot of work doing that. Like you say, making someone else successful to me was a little bit harder than just doing it yourself.
Absolutely. I say that constantly, and some people throw it back in my face sometimes, but I think personal production is the easy money in this business, and management is the bigger money. But
yes.
It's a little bit harder.
Yes.
But totally worth it.
Yes.
Totally worth it. Now, were you impressed? I was just thinking about this because Ralph sent me an email this morning. Were you impressed watching people get the bonus checks? I mean, what? seeing your own manager Ralph walk across the stage at the national convention getting a bonus check, did that in any way make you start thinking about recruiting, or did that motivate you at all, or what motivated you to start wanting to build a team?
Well, I think I'm most motivated about knowing how many people he's affected. I guess to me, I'm excited about that not only something that we can do individually to benefit other clients and our own families, but to help influence other people who also want an opportunity to do something like that, and anybody can do it. And so I was obviously very proud to see him and you and Heather and see all the things that you've accomplished, and I figured, hey, I've got mentors right there that can help me do these things.
Well, I agree. You've got one of the best with Ralph Simpson. You know, since that national convention, he's been inundated with people across the country wanting him to be be their mentor.
That's right.
And sometimes I think that the people that are on his team don't realize what they have their hands on when they have the ear and the advice of Ralph Simpson. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal.
I hope I always let him know that I do feel honored and impressed that he is there for us, and I feel very fortunate to have all that support.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I don't know the answer to this, so it's always a dangerous question. Are you going to the leadership convention next week?
Yes, I am, and my husband.
You were very emphatic about saying, yes, I am.
Yes.
Why'd you decide to go to that?
Well, obviously, every opportunity you have to learn and grow and develop in what you do, this is your career. This is what you do. And if you're not learning something new, then you're not growing, to me. And it's just important to keep developing ourselves and growing in our careers and helping others and helping ourselves.
And now you've been making money for a few months now, and so it probably wasn't a stretch to pay for $295 to go to the leadership convention. And this is another question I'm just asking off the cuff, and you don't have to answer it if you don't like, but was it any kind of stretch to go to the convention in January? Was it tough financially to go?
Yeah, I will say it was. And only just because, again, of my personal situation, we both, as I kind of mentioned, went through some real serious career changes and adjustments. So we went without income for a while. So we're kind of still building back up, but we know we've got to invest into it to keep growing.
And the reason I ask that, and I appreciate you being candid about it, but the reason I ask that is some folks on the call, or when we're talking about conventions or leadership meetings, or, you know, flying in for a quarterly meeting here to Dallas, or you know, making the extra effort like Mike Mullady Sr. did yesterday, making the extra effort of coming into the Dallas sales meeting, their common excuse is, I can't afford it.
Right.
I don't have the money. And I was taught by a mentor, Andy Albright, that you can't afford not to.
Right.
How can you afford to miss it? And that's exactly what you've said is, I can't afford to miss it. I can't afford to miss a sales meeting. I can't afford to miss a convention. You know, even if I'm not actively growing a team right now, and you're starting to, but
yes,
you made the decision to go to the leadership convention before you really started that, because you just refuse. And people, gosh, I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, Fitz, well, I could go produce that weekend and make money the weekend of the leadership convention, or I could go to the leadership convention. Which would you advise me do? And I said, well, producing will make you money presently. That's true, and that's very short term.
Right.
Going to the leadership convention will affect your income long term. I was reading an article last night that Jeremy Patton sent me. Jeremy Patton's on the Paul Roberts team, and he does a conference call with Brian Tracy, like a mentorship with Brian Tracy, and they were talking about the self-made millionaires. And self-made millionaires are in America, are obviously, there's more millionaires in America than any other country, but those millionaires are long-term thinkers. They're not short-term thinkers. And that's what you've shown yourself to be, and for that reason, I think you're on track. Isn't that crazy? I think you're on track to be a millionaire.
I agree.
Is that nuts to even say that, though? I mean, do you hear that and you go, man, that doesn't sound right?
Yeah.
I know I feel that way. You know, when people talk, it's like, that doesn't sound right. A millionaire? That's weird. That's somebody else that's got a Rolls Royce and a Porsche and a big, nice house.
Well, and the cool thing to know is when I'm a millionaire, you guys are going to be into the billionaires, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's about multi-millionaire.
That's right.
Making our first million is easy. It's going to start billion, you know?
As they say, from your mouth to God's ears, right?
Hey, by the way, Michelle,
yes.
Have you just heard from your husband, Robert?
Yes.
You got a message?
Yes, I did.
Is that good news?
Yes.
Congratulations.
By the way,
Robert, Michelle's husband, just took his test in Texas and just passed.
Outstanding.
So we have a new addition to our team, and he's absolutely awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Boy, that's an easy one to recruit.
I got to compete with him now, too. So.
It chapped him just a little bit to have to stand up last week and say your numbers, didn't it?
Yeah. He said, I wish all those applause would have been for me.
He said that in the meeting, too. Ralph, did you have any other questions for Michelle?
just keep on doing what you're doing. I mean, you know, 10,000 back to back, that's great. And to do $40,000 in this month, that's awesome. And, you know, and to I really have no questions for you. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Proud of what you're doing. And I had an email yesterday, actually, before we even knew you were coming into being on this conference call from an agent that was part of the meeting yesterday. And they were requesting your phone number. They're impressed with what you said at the meeting yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't mind, later on we can talk about that. But you obviously, you know, not just do I affect people's lives, I think evidently you're affecting people's lives. And, this, you know, you affected this individual to the point that she's begging me to beg you to give her a telephone number so you can talk and, you know, share your secrets with her.
No problem. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I don't want Michelle, don't hang up. I have not been getting any emailed questions to my email address, but I know I want to open it up because there's probably a good question or two out there that somebody wants to ask. But before I do that, I kind of want to pick Ralph's brain just a little bit. I get this question a lot, Ralph, and I think it's flattering that that I get this question about you. It's flattering for you that you get this question asked about you. But everybody always says, what does Ralph do different that produces these top producers? What is he doing that gets these folks knocking out huge numbers? And maybe it's a dual question. Let me ask Michelle first before we hear Ralph's thoughts. But, Michelle, in your opinion, and you've seen, I mean, you're part of the Simpson team. You're watching, you know, you're watching him grow. You're watching producers on the team grow. What does he do to get you guys to produce so dang much?
I have to say it's just his belief in you. I don't want to let him down. When you have someone just saying, I know you can do this, you know, this is, you know, you can do this, it's not going to be a problem, then you feel that you need to go ahead and do it. And I think it just comes down to that, the belief that people can do it. Sometimes we need someone else to say they believe in us a little more just to get us excited to know we can do it.
Hmm. And, you know, that is so true, you know, but the belief is very sincere. You know, the way I look at it, Fritz, is that, you know, they apply for work within our industry. You know, we hire them. It's our responsibility to take them to the level that we excited them to get to give us their social security number, right, on their application.
That's right.
I mean, it starts right there. It's going back to selling. And, you know, you've got to, and I think one of the main secrets, I know a lot of managers are not doing it, and it's making yourself available. You know, my phone rings constantly. Again, I make every point of taking every single call. I'm on a call, and I'm always constantly telling agents, you know, hold on, because I'm taking the call. You know, in fact, I put you on hold for 5 seconds to take a call right now, just a moment ago, from an agent who's with a client. I had to do that, so I make myself available to the agents. I mean, and that, to me, is very, very important. It's hard work, but it pays off. And, you know, they will show you the respect that you need and the respect that you deserve, but you've got to really enjoy doing it, which I do. I'm passionate about making agents successful and making them money, because my biggest motivation, you know, that Saturday morning, not looking at my check, you know, because that's great as it is, but to go down my downline and look at the checks that these guys are making, that right there is an incredible turn on for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, it used to be I got up every Saturday morning to look at my commission statement because I was concerned if I was going to, you know, if I was going to be able to pay bills that week, if I was going to have my lights on for another week. And it was a constant thought and a constant focus. And now I get up and, yeah, I glance at what I made, but I'm really going to that show deep downline so I can see what everybody's making. And that is exciting when you see some folks that you brought on, when you see them start to really make some strong cash. And, that is exciting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I get excited, jump on the phone, and I'll call. When I see checks over $3,000, automatically there's a phone call. These guys are amazed. You know, whenever these agents are making checks, you know, with $3,000, I'll pick up the phone and call them. And they're, I got some good news for you. You know, give them the inspiring news that they need and give them that adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and I like Michelle.
Yeah, he does.
Now, there are some folks on here, Ralph, who are kind of thinking about being managers and are thinking about recruiting a team. And some folks are motivated by helping others. And I can tell you now that money is no longer an issue in my life. That's my motivation, is helping others. Personally, I know it's yours as well. But some folks are motivated by the money.
Right.
Now, I'd have it on good authority that if nothing gets better for you this year, you're on track to make $750,000.
Yeah. Easily.
Now, I know you've been very successful in your life. How does that compare to past years?
You know, it's it's not about that. You know, it's about having the fun with it.
Ah.
You know, and that really is it. You know, granted, I've made a lot of money, much more than that in a year, and I'm not really enjoying it. You know, but this, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm enjoying it, and I don't look back as to what I've made or what I've got. You know, I wake up broke every day. Okay, broke
sure.
every day. You know, I've got to pay my bills, and I live my current lifestyle on the income that I'm making. Period. The check's not in the bank, okay, well, the income I'm making, is, guess what's going to happen? It's going to bounce from me to God knows where, okay? So I've got to make a living based upon what I'm doing right now. I don't look at what I've got in the nest egg, if you like.
Huh.
That's my mindset. Otherwise, I wouldn't work.
Right.
I really wouldn't work. Yeah, so, the things like, you know, I just purchased a house, right? I bought that home, that new home, on the strength of what I've got with NAA, with F&G. I didn't buy it on the strength of what I had.
Huh.
You know, just bought a new Mercedes. I didn't tell you this. Big surprise, huh?
No, you didn't tell me.
No, I didn't tell you this. You know, I just don't want to... You know, you bought yourself a brand new Lexus and all that. I can't compete with this car. I just bought myself a brand new Mercedes convertible. Real nice car, you know?
Ooh.
I did that on the strength of what I'm making with NAA. Okay, and that's... it's just a mindset. If I wasn't making money, I wouldn't do it. You know? Just going back to the question about agents who are starting out, looking to start out, okay, first bit of advice I want to give you, okay, is that you've got to personally produce. You've got to. Okay, you cannot get yourself out of the field, okay, you're going to commit suicide, financial suicide, okay, if you do that. I mean, I started running applications for the first time in DFW in 6 months, probably, Fred.
Wow.
Okay, I got an appointment, said she set an appointment for me, and I just set one locally. I thought, my gosh, I felt very nervous. I felt very nervous selling in my own backyard. I haven't done that in months, okay? And I felt almost intimidated also when then I wrote the application. You know, I'm going to constantly sell because that's the lifeblood right there. I mean, so if you are looking to build a team, don't think that you can, you know, I mean, of course, Grant, I want to be in your position one day, Fitz, where you can sit back and make $1 million, okay, and not personally produce art, okay? And that's important. And that's just an area that you need to talk to your managers about. You've got to make sure you're financially able to build a group. And that's why I don't push my agents. I push them, you know, to think ahead, but I don't push them to jump, you know, before they can walk. You know, they've got to do what Michelle's doing. You know, walk the walk, talk the talk, $40,000 a month. You know, she's qualified, more than qualified, you know, as far as being able to do it, as far as on a financial level. Yeah, so she, in my opinion, she's definitely ready. You know, but an agent just coming on and had a flash-in-the-pan success of $10,000 a week and I want to become a manager tomorrow, they were not going to get my instant blessing on that.
Right.
My instant blessing a month or two down the road, okay, but, you know, an instant blessing on the fact that they're ambitious, but not pushing them to become management material because it will blow them out. I've seen it happen already too many times.
So a couple things there. One, personal production for the income, the financial stability to grow a team. But number two, you can't teach somebody how to do something that you've never done.
Absolutely.
At that point, it's theory. And that was a real problem I always had in college was, you know, a lot of these professors that thought they were outstanding, they never actually lived it. They just knew the theory of it. And that was why it was so dangerous to take what they said to heart. Because you could end up getting what they have, which is a $30,000 a year job with no hope of any future. And that's a little depressing. Let's see. I think it's outstanding so far. I'm going to try to open it up by the way, Ralph, I don't know if you mind saying, what was your bonus check this week?
$4,100
bonus.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That's that ain't bad. I mean, that's a $50,000 a year bonus just for having fun, right?
Absolutely.
And we talked about that yesterday. That's a big deal, having fun and making money, and that's something that Andy has always said for a long time, having fun and making money. If one of those two isn't happening for you, let somebody know. We can help fix that. But that's what's so great about this is not the money that you're going to make or that you're making, but the actual freedom that it gives you. And that freedom is such a big deal, guys. I mean, it is a big deal to watch your kids grow up. It's a big deal to be there when they're doing different things. It's a big deal, that freedom. You know, not to have to make a decision because of money, but making a decision because on your heart, based on your heart and what your heart says, that's huge. And that's what you're being offered here.
And you know, that bonus check is so inspiring. And, you know, Fritz, I saw what you made this month. My gosh, I mean, that is, I can't, you know, see to mention what you made, but it's incredible. If, I mean, really, that alone is inspiring. Makes mine $4,000 pittance and embarrassing, actually.
But you know what's funny is it was just a couple of months ago, it seems like, that my bonus check was $4,000.
Wow.
It really wasn't that long. I think, as a matter of fact, at the August leadership, they called me up. I think my bonus that week was about $4,000 in the August leadership that we were in Raleigh, North Carolina.
It was $3,000. I remember it was $3,000.
How about that?
$3,300. Yeah, I remember.
$3,300. And I remember being extremely fired up about a $3,300 bonus. And guys, he alluded to it, and I don't say this to brag at all. My bonus check was just shy of $25,000 from NAA bonus. And
for one month.
Yeah. I mean, that's and I say all that to say, guys, and anybody, by the way, that's not like I'm throwing something out that nobody knows. Anybody gets a bonus check from NAA, they post the top three bonus checks that are out there. So you can easily find that out, and you can run the numbers and figure out what I made even if you didn't get that. But it's a huge deal. And let's see, it was August, September. So that was off of July's production. So August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. So that's 8 months that it's been since I made a less than $4,000 bonus check. 8 months since then, I've increased to $25,000. So things can change drastically, guys. They can change drastically for you and for your life. We were at dinner last night, and Todd and I were talking, and he got started with us when we were still at the dining room table. Matter of fact, he was trained with one other agent at my dining room table in a 1,200 square foot townhouse that Heather and I lived in and officed out of at the time. And just 3 short years from then, you know, we are on pace to net $1 million. And guys, a lot of you know me well enough to know that I'm not saying it in a bragging sense. I'm saying it in an inspirational sense. It's just tying into the system, tying in like Michelle's doing. That's what I'm saying. She's a millionaire because she can. She's tying into the system. She's coming to the sales meetings. She's coming to the quarterly meetings. She's going to every national convention that they have possible. Now she's got her husband has her license, has his license. I mean, and she's talking to her manager, who is a great example to follow. You know, if you're talking to your manager that's a lousy example, don't follow him. But I don't think there's a manager like that with the Fitz Group. I think Ralph, Todd, and Jim are all outstanding leaders and outstanding examples to follow. And now Paul Roberts is the newest addition to that crew that is an outstanding example to follow. So you're in safe hands there. Okay, let me. I digressed for just a second. Let me open it up and see if there's any questions for either Michelle, Ralph, or myself. Preferably Michelle or Ralph.
I have a question.
Okay.
Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. I can.
Who's the question for?
It's for Michelle.
Hold on a second, Beth. Hey, guys, if you'll hit the *6 button on your phone or the mute button on your phone, we won't hear those outside conversations. Yeah. Some man with a low voice isn't paying attention. Go ahead, Beth. Fire away, and we'll close it out.
Okay. I have a question for Michelle.
Yeah.
As you know, I went from zero to anywhere from 12 to 19,000 a month. I mean, I doubled what I did, and the reason why I did was because I had basically an attitude change. You've been doing consistently 15,000 to 20,000 a month, and now you're doing that in a week. So what was your drastic change?
Okay. Michelle, did you catch all that? Let me repeat it
for
the call.
Yeah, I did get the question,
Let me repeat it for everybody just because, you know, a couple people don't follow instructions about hitting mute on their phone, and so we end up getting their conversation too. But it's I say that for the benefit of anybody listening to this tape later. She asked, listen, you know, that was Beth Preston, the original dud to stud, the original sandbagger. And she said, you know, I had what was my reason for my success was a huge attitude change that got me to the point where I'm writing between $12,000 and $20,000 in a month consistently on a monthly basis. She said, you went from doing that in a month to doing that in a week. What was your drastic – hers was attitude. What was your drastic change?
I would have to say I think it must, you know, be the same thing. I don't think
there was anything technically different or anything like that. Like I said, when I talked to Ralph about, you know, my struggles I had there for a few weeks, his big thing is don't worry, just keep doing it, you know, keep doing what you do, and it's going to come, it's going to turn out, it's going to be fine. And that belief, that confidence, and knowing that I was doing the right thing, and just making sure I was connecting with people again, and maybe what I felt like was maybe I just wasn't developing that rapport right away with someone. Like you say, finding that commonality. Sometimes people want to feel like you have something in common with them, and so I concentrated on that maybe a little more. That's the only thing I can think of as far as making a change or adjustment. But it's a confidence and just knowing you're gonna provide the best product for them, and therefore that's what they need to do. People, I think, sometimes are afraid to make a decision, and you have to just help them do that.
Great answer. Great question, Beth, and great answer, Michelle. Ralph, well, Michelle, do you have any closing comments? We're going to go ahead and close the call down because it's tough to ask more questions when we open it up.
No, I would just tell everybody to have fun.
Have fun.
Just like you guys said, have fun.
Have fun, make money.
Yeah.
Is that your closing thought as well, Ralph?
Yeah. If it's not working for you guys, pick up the phone and call your manager, okay?
Yeah.
Believe me, they've been down that road. They've experienced what you're experiencing, and they'll be able to get you out of the rut, okay? So communication is the key. Go out there and make it happen.
Outstanding. Guys, I can't say anything better than what these two just said. You just heard from two of the best and the brightest in the country. And I applaud you for availing yourself to this information that was presented on this call. Now it's up to you to go apply it to your life and make the same changes, and you will see the same results. I guarantee it. You'll see the same results if you will apply this information. So thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, team, for kicking butt and taking names and making it happen for you. Make it happen for you. Go out there and make some money for you this week. Focus on your goals. Achieve what you want to achieve. And you will be excited for it. So thank you, guys. Be sure in an hour to tune into the national call with NAA, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.